and welcome back to Literally Literary. If this is your first time joining us, be sure to check out our previous episodes. This episode, we are beginning our discussion on Alessandra Narváez Valera's debut, 30 Talks Weird Love. If your older self could talk to your 13-year-old self, what would they say? This episode, we will be discussing an overview of her debut book and connections we've made.
Very cool.
What's up?
Happy New Year.
Right? Viewers.
New year, new season.
We didn't do a countdown or anything.
I know. We're all feeling a little... I don't know. How are we feeling?
Tired?
Yes.
Achy?
Tired.
Tired.
Sniffly.
I've been sick, so I'm going to sound different, guys. You know, I got the COVID. Christmas Eve all the way to New Year, so
that missed sucked. All the good stuff.
Yeah, it's okay. Anyway, this is kind of like my first outing in like, I think I was telling you, like over 20 days, so It's cool. It's good to be here with you guys. Definitely missed it. We have an awesome new book, and you know, but yeah, we're talking about being a little sore in the throat, maybe some allergies, so. Forgive us, dear viewers.
And listeners.
Why did I say viewers? Yeah.
Well, yeah, because we're kind of thinking about having some video to accompany the podcast, but perhaps down the road.
What do you think? Let us know.
Let us know in the comments. Is that a thing? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Can people comment? Oh, yeah, you can comment on the... Anyway.
I mean, if they're not, they should be following us on social media. That's a great way to be kept up to date. I think we're going to try and be a little bit more active.
Yes.
This year, this new season.
Yes.
But yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff as always. Did you guys enjoy your time off, your holidays for the most part?
Yeah. Stressful, but also restful. Mm. Yeah. I took a lot of naps. I watched a lot of TV.
Getting some of that stress rest in.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. It was great. But ready to go back to work?
Always.
Mm-hmm.
I like work.
I don't know if I'm ready.
I know. Short. It always feels short.
Yeah. And then I think what's also not helping is that at work they gave me like these 4 days off. So I've been off since Friday and I'm off tomorrow. So I'm like, I'm just hanging out. And so at this point, I'm like, do I want to do stuff?
Well, you're liking it.
Can't I just do this for the rest of my life?
So the great thing is, that means there's plenty of extra time to read, right? As always, we have those books that are sitting around. Mm-hmm. And of course, we have some new stuff this season, of course.
Of course. And maybe we'll be hinting at those upcoming books.
Easter eggs.
Yeah, in the near future, either in our stories or in our posts, but they'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're starting off the new year, the new season, with a book from a border author, which is very cool. It's always cool to see these books in print and to see and hear all these creative voices that we have on the border in Juarez, in El Paso. And this book is part of Cinco Puntos Press, which is now Lee and Lowe.
Out of New York.
Books, Inc. Yes. Published 2021. I was going to say this year, but that's already in last year. 2021. And the author is Alessandra Narváez Varela. So we're excited to talk about this book because... of the connection here and of course just to see these themes and cultural connections that we can immediately relate to is always nice. This is a YA book. It's been a while since you guys have done YA or something like this.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, we're definitely no strangers, and I think once we start to talk about connections, as we do, mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of similarities, right? Can't wait to talk about that. But same on this end. I'm excited to talk about this book because Alessandra, Ale, she, you know, we've worked together, you know, in Border Senses. And I've known her for a while just through, you know, she's through UTEP MFA, her teaching mm-hmm. creative writing classes. And so just being part of that scene. And like I said, even just recently we had a gig through Border Senses with the Boys and Girls Club of El Paso. And we were able to we received a grant, and it was for restorative justice through writing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think about this book, that's a huge component, I think, mm-hmm. of yeah. what the book is trying to accomplish. But it was really fun. So we got to work with youth, with kids. I don't know why that sounds so weird. With youths.
Like, with the youths.
like they're a different species or something.
It reminded me of Schmidt from New Girl.
Yes, yeah. With the youth. For me personally, it was like the youngest group I've ever worked with, though. I mean, kinder mm. up to like first, second grade, but like mm. more on the younger side. So it was quite the challenge. So we were able to kind of bond a little bit through that, talking about lessons and how to approach it. And she did so great. And so reading this book, I mean, I was really happy to hear about the release. Mm-hmm. And I hate that I missed the release because it seemed like it was a really great event. I saw mm-hmm. photos. And I saw that there was a live stream. So one thing that I'd love to ask her, and I didn't do the due diligence before the show to see if it's available, mm-hmm. if I just look it up. But I wanted to see if it's available anywhere because I would still love to see how she talked about it, what she read. And of course, because she is a border author and here in El Paso, hopefully we'll have a chance to have a good conversation with her later on.
Yes. Yeah. So think about questions we might have for Ale.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big question of the book is like, it's a pretty popular question, right? And maybe we'll save it for the end of this episode to think about more. But, mm-hmm. you know, what were some of your first impressions? Just maybe even before even reading, like, the description. Just mm-hmm. Dirty Talks Weird Love.
I was definitely intrigued.
Yeah.
Because it has a really beautiful cover. Mm-hmm. So the artwork kind of like draws you in also. And then I guess one of the connections that we obviously made was Poet X, because it's a novel but told in verse in a sense.
I think you had said you thought about Ben Sines also, like mm-hmm. is a connection.
Mm. Right.
That makes sense. Just the YA genre, the young voice.
Young voice, but also just talking about Juarez and the point of view of a 13-year-old girl growing up in a time where a lot of women were disappearing, girls and women. She makes that mm-hmm. distinction and the language of being found, something very early on in this book that... Mm-hmm. is a very much a concern. So, and that shows up a lot. We talked about Everything Begins and Ends at the Kentucky Club.
Yeah.
That comes up a lot. So thematically you have that. Of course, just border life as mm-hmm. well. Poet mm-hmm. X. I know there are a couple other, I mean, when you talk about young adult, it's always about like, you know, growing up, like coming into yourself. Yeah.
Crushes on celebrities, unattainable celebrities.
Brad Pitt. Yo, that's twice now that we've
I know, said. Dude. Twice. We're in sync, I think. I love the way she talks about Brad Pitt. I had a thing for Leo DiCaprio. I call him Leo because we're, you know, close. You know, when I was like 13, so that was my little crush. Mm. There is a lot of that, and you know, when she introduces like the femicides, it's kind of like jarring, but I was expecting it, you know, because again, it is a young girl growing up in Juarez, and mm-hmm. like, okay, how is she going to bring this up, and how is she going to talk about it in a YA novel, I think is mostly what I'm interested in, how that's going to play out. because it's different in, you know, everything begins and ends at the Kentucky Club, because he had so much freedom to kind of discuss everything and and the violence and the, you know, all of those really heavy topics, drug addiction, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Where in YA, you have to be a little more careful.
And I think she handles it really well. Like, I think just for the sake of just introducing the book today, we're going to not dive into it as much and maybe do that for the second episode. But I mean, again, not if we do it, we'll do it. But there's a couple instances in the book where I think it's handled very well, where, you know, she has a relationship with her parents, the 13-year-old, right? Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Anna Maria.
Yes.
And, you know, they tell her not to worry, don't be scared, but, you know, she tells her, well, I'm a girl. I have to, you know, and there's a two or three times where this kind of conversation happens. And I think that's almost addressing what you're talking about. Like, it is content, even though, like, we generally, like, talk about what is admissible, permissible in a YA book, but it's addressed here perfectly. Like, I mean, it affects me. So,
yeah.
And oftentimes there's people who want to avoid that kind of conversation.
Yeah.
And it's no good, because I think this this book is also about uncomfortable conversations and confronting maybe things that we don't normally talk about.
Yeah. I think a lot of it also has to do with her parents just wanting to protect her, which is, of course, natural and expected. But she's kind of seeing through that and seeing, you know, she's observant. She's an observant 13-year-old and sees the pages of El Diario that are showing, you know, these young girls and it'll show their faces blurred. But everything else is there for her to see. You can't ignore that kind of stuff. And no matter how well-intended or how much the parents are protecting her, it's a reality, you know, that they're living in. So, I'm really interested in seeing how that plays out, you know, in the novel for the 13-year-old and the older self. So I guess we should talk a little bit about the premise, right, of the book.
Right.
We haven't even started yet.
Well, we started like what would you think, initial thoughts, and then we started diving right into it.
Which is what we said we weren't going to do.
Immediately after we said we weren't doing that.
So the book is called 30 Talks Weird Love, and 30 is a character in the book. Happens to be the Ana Maria, 13-year-old's 30-year-old self from the future. Did I say that right?
Which is a very popular, I think, premise, I think, that comes up. You know, we often get asked that. If you could talk to your younger self, what would you? So there's that. And also, yeah, my initial thought is, when I saw the title, I was like, what the heck does this mean? Talks weird. I was trying to, like, destructure. And then, of course, it does really help to know that 30, in this case, references her as 30 years old. Like, that's her name, which she's called in this book, right? 30. And of course, you know, weird love. And that's kind of one of the things that we want to unpack. What does that mean, weird love? So,
yeah. So a really great premise, not just for a YA novel, but, you know, for any kind of writing, I think, because it allows for the characters to reflect, but also for the reader to reflect, right, on these kinds of ideas. Yeah. And then anything from, like, the future is always cool. So I'm interested in seeing how that plays out later on in the novel. No context. So that's basically the premise of the book. And so far, we're about halfway into it. And we're seeing how, first, you know, she's the author. She's playing and mixing a lot of genres. So that's prose, poetry. There's a lot of narratives. Richie, we're talking about, like, conversations. And later on in in the novel, there's editing and there's drawings and stuff and blackout poetry. So there's really a lot going on.
That's really
exciting.
Which
is also really cool. Yeah. Cool to see. It's cool to see her taking risks like that because is this her first novel?
Yeah.
Yes.
For it to be the first novel and for her to be like, you know what? I want to do a piece that has blackout poetry and I want to do this and I want to do that and just do it, you know, I think is really great. And it's also really meta because her 13-year-old self, main character, is also kind of going through these changes and trying out different things, right? Mm-hmm. So she's at first really not wanting to, or not knowing that she's a poet, or I don't know if it's just her not recognizing it or resisting it in some way.
I think it mentions that she used to write. And for a 13-year-old, she is very, very, very invested in her studies. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's kind of talked a lot about is this school here, SOR. Mm-hmm. And it's a prestigious school. And there's a lot about competition. And I mean, that could be a theme in itself too, right? Is the kind of pressure and work that is put onto kids in school, and
especially those kinds of schools.
Mm-hmm. And so that's a huge part. And so part of that is like she spent so much time studying and almost to a point where even her parents were like, you take a break. And so to kind of explore writing is a way for her to get more introspective, right? Mm-hmm. You know, kind of as suggested by 30, right? Mm-hmm. To like think more about things that she's not aware of just yet. And it comes off wonderfully as it unravels as the book goes on. So we can't wait to explore that in the next episode.
That's interesting because you'd think it would be like this escape, her kind of just like venting. And she kind of is in the poetry, but it's also, like you said, Richie, really allowing her to see the real reality in everything around her. And it's not just like the things that are more important, like these women disappearing or her mental health or her family relationships, as opposed to just like making sure she gets, you know, A+ on every assignment.
Yeah. Even just the typical teenager stuff, like all like what happens with her friends, like they were in a fight. Oh, I miss her, but I, you know, like things like that. That happens with her little friend of groups or peers. You know, throughout as well. And she navigates that as well. Like we said, teenager, you know, that's kind of one of those big themes is navigating change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What other themes did you see, Vanessa, so far?
I mean, it's tough.
I'm like trying to said like, this one earlier, self-love.
Yeah. So I guess in a sense, is that a spoiler? The weird love that 30 is talking about is kind of this self-love, like to be kinder to herself and not, I guess, pressure herself, especially towards school, like to get these good grades. Something that stood out to me in one of the earlier moments is that she talks about how much she studies, but then she says that she's not on the honor roll.
Yeah.
So I thought that was important.
Pick that up right away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously affecting her.
It's affecting her because now she's like, well, I'm doing this, but it's not getting me where I want to be. So I have to do it more.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just kind of harsh on herself and like searching in a sense, like almost a perfectionist.
She obviously has a high expectations of herself and her work, and it definitely takes a role on her on her mental health, which comes up and we'll see as it develops as well. A lot of the other students in the school as well, like I think it's worth questioning, like what these institutions do to us, right? It's like school, high school, you know.
Yeah.
Later on, maybe workforce.
I think the idea of not, I guess, obsessing over one thing and like trying to take in as much as you can, like your relationships with other people and like what's happening in the area that you're living in, rather than being solely focused on this one aspect of your life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot to bring up, and I think we can talk about it maybe more in depth when we're talking about like maybe looking at passages in the book and bringing them out. Mm-hmm. But I mean, so we did talk about it, but like in the book, right? Pretty much right away, you have Ana Maria, our 13-year-old protagonist, right, who mm-hmm. encounters a stranger. Who ends up claiming to be herself from the future at 30, right? And that's kind of just right away, just kind of thrown on you. Mm-hmm. What'd you guys make of that? I don't know. It's maybe worth, because I was just like, oh, just like that. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It kind of threw me through a loop. I don't know. I'm about at the halfway point. And I guess I was expecting a little more explanation or mm-hmm. a little more development on how that happened. I'm not sure that it would have made it more anything. I just, I guess that's just what I had expected because in other books or movies or whatever where this this thing kind of happens, it's not just thrown at you in one line, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think it might be jarring in that way because it's supposed to be weird for the 13-year-old and unexpected.
That's a good point.
For her to just be like, wait, who are you? No, I don't know who you are, you know, not trusting of her. But she does kind of start to trust her a little early.
Because 30 knows intimate details. To the point of like even dreams. And I don't know, that's something I don't think we even talked about in the pre-show, but Ana Maria's dreams. I think those are very interesting.
Yeah, they are.
Like they're violent.
Really violent.
Know, self-harm and even though it's not brought up right away, it's definitely the manifestation of her mental health and her her depression, you know, and that's something that
and her fears
isn't
too.
Talked a lot about. There's a stigma, and so I think a huge part of that book is recognizing it's okay to ask for help. You know, that's a huge part of the book, and so those dreams are crazy. I don't know what you guys thought about those.
Yeah, I'm always kind of weird about dream sequences, but I think they really work well here because they're, you know, like a portal to, you know, the young Ana Maria and the things that she's afraid of, but that she doesn't want to recognize or that she's too afraid to talk to anybody about. But 30 already knows what she's dreaming. So that's kind of nice to have that, to have someone to share that with.
So I guess that's a big moment of her accepting a little bit of what what's happening there.
We can talk about those next episode, but I think it's
true.
I'm thinking about like one in particular that uses the word swish.
Ah, yes.
Which I thought was really a weird word choice.
Okay, interesting.
So we can talk about that next time.
Okay.
Oh, it's actually called Swish, page 44.
Marking that in the book.
I just have an exclamation point and a question mark. Those are my notes on that one. But, you're right about, like, there being a lot of violence. But just the way that it's portrayed, not just in dream form, but in her poetry, I think is really interesting.
Yeah, and as I flip through, definitely looking forward to that conversation of diving into not just that, but again, maybe more particular passages and moments. But even just flipping through the pages right now, again, I'm just also really impressed with how she's going back to Alessandra, using different forms here to tell his story. Because yes, it is poetic prose to have a lot of exposition. But on top of that, right, we see actual poems that Ana Maria has written. We see stuff that 30 has written, right? And that's even edited. I think that's so cool. We talked about there's different letters as well and that are edited. She does this blackout poetry stuff. I just think that's... I think NYA is just brilliant because I think it's also just a great way to present these ideas, these complex things, these stigma things that we don't talk about, stress, the pressure, mental health in these ways and new forms. I think it just... I would have loved, yeah, I'm sure that people would love reading this because
young
of that
adults,
journey.
The youths. Right? The youths.
Never going to let that die.
The youths will like it because, like, there's this poem that has, it's written inside of, like, a little hopscotch diagram.
Yeah.
On page 52, after school in El Colorín. It's the Mama Leche poem, which she's kind of proud of. And then there's a poem on page 62, the Apology Acrostic, which has it's a poem to Margarita, a drawing of a daisy. So we get a glimpse of, like, these drawings, and we can imagine this composition notebook that Ana Maria has with all these poems and what she's drawing around them. And so I really enjoyed that, too. Because, and these aren't messy, not to say that they're messy, but, you know, when you're starting out writing poetry, if you're that age, you have little drawings and little doodles and scratching things out and, you know, writing Brad Pitt plus Ana Maria equals love in the corner kind of thing. And it's all expected, right? So I don't know. I really like that she included that.
Yeah.
Gives us that glimpse of the 13-year-old self.
Yeah. I'm also thinking that in the past when we've had some of the books, we've brought relevant food along, and just realizing that for the next episode, or if, you know, the episode we have her on, we should definitely bring some arenitos with café de olla.
Yes.
That's 30's favorite snack in the café. And every time, like, she brought it down the book, I'm like, man... I could use that. That'd be pretty great to have right now.
I know. Now I want a marinito.
I'm going to put it on the list of for to bring. And you could just eat it live on the episode.
I found the blackout poetry you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I love blackout poetry. I love teaching it because it really opens eyes of the students or whoever's doing it, right, to see that less is more sometimes. And a lot of times when we think about, like, writing, we're just like, especially if we have so much to say about something, we just want to say it all, but we don't have to.
Yeah.
All the time. So I really like that
I'm always impressed. Form. I'm always impressed by it just because I think the deliberate choice of what to exclude and what to leave to almost create something new out of it. That's an impressive kind of creativity, you know, repurposing into the new. Weird love.
You did talk pre-show, Richie, about it being a love letter.
Right. So we kind of started talking about it. There's two, right, dedications.
Yes.
And two I think dedications she talks about it there, right? So... so from Ale, you have the first, and also, of course, it's bilingual, which is perfect,
yes,
right? So you have the dedication in Spanish and then in English, and of course it's Spanish first, that's her first language, so it kind of makes sense. To Amanda and Carlos, my parents, vertebrae of my back, blood and muscle of my heart, I adore you, every word I write is yours, all I am is because of you. So that's definitely a profound love and respect for parents. And of course, the parents have the same names as the parents in the book, right? Although she gives them nicknames in the book, right? Yeah. Paparingo and Chachi. What is it?
Chachita.
Yes. Awesome, yeah. I like the story of where they got the nicknames.
Too.
Yeah, like that's nice. I think those are nice touches and details on all this part to include. Then you have the second dedication, right? And that's more to the women and girls. She's definitely making an artistic statement here, right? About purpose of poetry, or at least the way she sees it. What do you guys, do you want to maybe read it? What do you think about it?
Yeah. So this one also is in Spanish and then in English. To the women and girls we have lost in Ciudad Juárez, poetry doesn't give back life. Poetry is not justice, but she remembers and doesn't let us forget. May the blessed steps you walk in the paradise, sorry, in the paradise you inhabit be full and light. May what we do in your memory always be worthy of your name. May the day this imperfect yet beautiful city of ours never loses one more of you arrive soon. Until then, please accept the humble prayer that is this book. Mm. I mean, I love both of the dedications. And this one's, I think, so important. It's one of the major themes and one of the things that she focuses on throughout the novel. So I just think that that's a beautiful way to, like, kind of introduce it in a sense, before, like, kind of exploring it more from, like, her 13-year-old self.
Mm-hmm. Right. I also love that comment, like, poetry is not justice, but she remembers and then doesn't let us forget. Mm-hmm. So just kind of speaking to the importance of, I'm trying to think of how Eli Wiesel says it with, when, you know, he talks about it with Knight, just remembering in that way.
Mm, yeah.
Through writing about it. It's beautiful. Beautiful dedication, of course, and makes me think too of, I mean, it's another theme is just how one identifies or connects with a city. Because a young Ana Maria she has dreams about the city herself, and Ana 30 talks about the city as well, as almost like a character. Mm-hmm. And it's just, how do you reconcile all the bad with even all the good? And so there's some good conversations in the book itself that we can talk about later regarding that.
That's definitely going to come up because, living on the border, growing up on the border, we already know that constant, like, push and pull, or people, you know, talking smack about it or having a certain idea about, you know, el otro lado. So we can talk about how she brings that up, I really like that part of the dedication too, just the beauty, imperfect yet beautiful city of ours. I think that's a really great way to describe it.
There's also some good humor. I'll admit I'm pretty, and I'm not saying this in a negative way towards her either, but I'm kind of corny, you know, and.
Kind of. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm super funny.
Any listener already knows, right? Like, but that's something I appreciated as well. Like, I don't know, did you guys get to the cactus joke?
The cactus joke.
Oh, no spoilers. We'll wait. We'll talk about it. And then, of course, like, there's a lot of kind of like corny dialogue between 30 and Ana Maria, but they acknowledge it too. Like, Ana Maria's like, that's corny. I maybe we can talk a little bit more about that. It's a little dismissive at first, but kind of what she's talking about are these gestures of what it, self-love or weird love, right? The way they say it. So love to talk a little bit more about that. Also, I don't even know why we didn't bring this up when introducing Ale, but something that was also, even though this is her first book, she's gotten some pretty great work already kind of in the limelight. In particular, she, I forgot to mention this, but we have mentioned it on the show. She had a poem that was a dedication to, you know, El Paso, the Walmart shooting, and it was published as Poem of the Day, and so...
On poets.org, right?
Yeah.
It was a great poem. That was my first introduction to her. So, yeah, when I heard that this book was coming out, I was really excited to read more of her work.
Yes. And that was the month that Sasha Pimentel, creative writing professor, awesome, awesome, amazing writer.
Yeah.
She's cool. she was the guest editor that month. And so I think that was a great thing to include Alessandra's piece. And I just bring it up because I think people should, if they haven't a chance, to check it out, because that also, of course, comes up a lot in Coatlicue Girl. And, you know, obviously there are a lot of connections with Coatlicue Girl as well that, mm-hmm. you know, we haven't even mentioned it. And oh, yeah. I feel bad, right? Like, yeah. like obviously that's a huge, there's yeah. a huge connections too with, mm-hmm. with femicides and
right.
womanhood. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know. Now we're like, oh, and I'm like,
ding.
It just, you know, we took a little bit of time off, I think, with the holidays, and so we're getting back into
a little hiatus, but
but right now I'm like, oh, back. Wait a minute, this so,
and also,
if you guys have a chance, definitely check out the poem.
I think also it kind of reminds me of I'm Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter, especially like this. I don't want to say battle, but like. The struggle with mental health that she faces. Mm.
Mm. And I mean, the last book that we read, Funeral for Placa, that was our last book, right?
No,
the one before.
Yes.
Alan's book. what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. That she talks about mental health. So, like, we're kind of seeing, yes. and she's also, you know, kind of going through all these stages and coming of age yes. and stuff. So that's another obvious connection. It's taking us a while, folks. we're getting there.
Definitely.
Yes. Did you find the poem?
Oh yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it's poets.org, and you could just the name of the piece is 23 Reasons Why Mexicanos Can Still Be Found in Walmart, which I believe is a shout out to Juan Felipe Herrera, former U.S. poet laureate. He's also a Fresno poet, so mm-hmm. he kind of hangs with that gang. Yeah, it's based off of his poem, 23 Reasons Why Mexicanos Can't Cross the Border. And it's just...
187 reasons.
There you go. Yeah, so sorry about that. 187, which, again, reference to 187. Yeah. 23, of course, you know, referencing
yes.
shooting, so...
Yeah. You haven't had a chance to check it out. It was published last year.
That's a great poem, and then there's a lot of good poetry in here too, and also a lot of poetry that I think she calls out on herself too, as corny, but I definitely love it, and I do look forward to checking out more. Me personally, I did read this in one sitting.
Sitting.
Yeah, one sitting. Yeah. And I was also seated. No, it's you know, it's a way, you know, it's a pretty quick read, and I, you know, I think she handles these dense topics very, very efficiently. And you know, I had some time. I was just recovering from this, so just I had time. But definitely, if you're an educator, I would definitely look into it, and I think your classes would enjoy it as well. Because I keep, you know, we want to talk to you guys as well, all the teachers out there. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty relevant, and I think there's some really good themes that you can draw and have conversations with your students about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even like the idea of teaching different forms of poetry. So I think that would be a good. Thing.
Probably get some good writing topics out of it. Even yeah. like the main question of the book, right? Mm-hmm. If you could talk, give advice to your younger self, your 20-year-old self, what would it be? Mm-hmm. Have you guys thought about that question?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it this whole time.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Richie and I have really boring answers, so we're not going to bore our listeners.
Yeah, we were talking about it before the show, but what do you guys think, listeners? Maybe we're going to add a poll for that when the episode comes out.
Yeah. Oh, I already did.
Oh, cool.
Oh, for Instagram? For the,
yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's perfect. Maybe we can share some people's answers on the next episode. Yes. I know, didn't we do that on Spotify too, though, once, where mm-hmm. we people could, like, answer stuff?
The five songs.
So maybe we can also include that there. Like, so if you guys are listening, you know, what advice would you give your younger self, 13-year-old self?
And 13's such a rough age too, that my 13-year-old self was going through so much stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that seems so huge, like monumental, and they weren't mm-hmm. really. A lot of them weren't. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them were, mm-hmm. kind of like here. So, mm-hmm. yeah. That's really, it's an important age. I don't even remember my 30-year-old self, though. I don't know. Can it be my current present self telling my 13-year-old self?
Yeah, it's funny. Well, one of the things that I mentioned pre-show is that also just very kind of talking about that 13, 30, there's a very different conception of when you're 13, you think 30-year-old is adult, has it all figured out, has wisdom, answers to everything. Mm-hmm. And when you get there, eventually, it's just kind of more of like, you're still figuring it out. You know, mm-hmm. there's still like those things that we thought were established aren't necessarily the case. And again, that comes up in the book a little bit, and we can talk about it more next episode. But that's the other thing, like.
Yeah, that's really interesting and very true. But I think also when you're 13, you think not just that 30-year-olds have it figured out, but that they're like just so far away, like so old. Mm.
Yeah. I walk with a limp.
Not fun and just, you know, but.
No, we'll talk more about that. I like how 30 is described though, with like a little grandma bun and, you know, and just kind of comfortable. He's got that teacher poet vibe. All right.
This 30, she does seem like she has it together.
Wow.
More so. Yeah, I know. More so than, you know, the 13 Ana Maria, but 13 Ana Maria, I mean, she's figuring it out and struggling, of course, but yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see how this plays out. I guess we didn't talk about the cover. I really like, well, I mean, Vanessa, you brought it up a little bit, how it draws you in.
Yeah.
The young girl on the cover, but the words of the title are just, you know, huge. And then there's little doodles and stuff, which I imagine are part of the composition notebook that she has. So the cover art was by Paulina Magos. And the cover design was by our own Zeke Peña.
Hell yeah.
Jacket design by Abby Awar. So three different people designed this really beautiful blue and pink cover art. And I also like that Denise Chavez had a little blurb for her in the back.
That's awesome.
Denise, one of the OGs.
She's a legend. For real. She's awesome. I got to work with her around November. It was a lot of fun. With some writing workshop stuff.
Flex. Go off, did she? I'm super jealous. No, Denise Chavez, I mean, another local writer, right? But she's more established, I guess you could say. And a lot of her work I read in college. And so, yeah, it was really nice to see her name on this book. I bet it was super exciting for Alessandra, too.
Congratulations, Ale. This is awesome. I'm glad that you have your book out.
Yeah.
Can't wait to talk more about it and also have you on the show.
We're super excited and really proud to see more border voices.
Yeah, exactly.
Get out there, print, publish their work.
And it was also like sold out all over El Paso. I want to say that.
Yeah, forgot to mention that. Yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy.
It's a good sign.
A good sign.
We had trouble finding a copy.
Yeah, and I was like, don't order off Amazon. Just wait till they get it back. But, you know.
So I was like, we need to do the podcast.
I know. Another alternative is bookshop.org.
Absolutely.
It's a much better alternative than buying books off of Amazon. Just PSA.
Also, I mean, since we're bringing it up, and we have mentioned before, but, you know, for our El Paso viewers and regional viewers, definitely check out our awesome local bookshops, Brave Books and Literarity. I think there's a couple more. I don't know. Did you want? I mean, those are the ones that we love personally, yeah. that we love to go and support.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple more, but I mean, it's hard to keep track of what's still around and so on. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Definitely go to those guys first before you go to like Amazon and Bezos. He's good.
He's good. He doesn't need our money.
He doesn't need our
money. Anymore.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Literally Literary, brought to you by Border Senses and Power at the Pass. This episode, we began our discussion on 30 Talks Weird Love by Alessandra Narvaez Valera. If you haven't read it, we hope we inspire you to pick up a copy. Follow us on Instagram at literallyliterary.ep and on Twitter at literallylitep.